Have any of you ever felt like you was on death row?
Yeah.
Amen. Some of us may feel like it right now, that everything we're going through, I see no end. This doesn't make any sense of what I'm going through. I'm sorry, Katrina, but I can't forgive what happened to me in the past, and it's put me in a cage. When we think about death row, let's think about it a second when we go into the prison system. Do you have any freedoms on death row? If God called us that we may have life and that more abundantly, do you think you have life on death row? Death row is leading you to death, right? When we're on death row, we're in solitary confinement. We're in a cell. We're caged up. And so whatever God has created us to do or be gets locked up, right? It gets cut off. And no longer do we have the freedoms that God has created us to have. Amen? Do we feel like that sometimes? And I'm telling you, with the path that he has me on, there's sometimes I'm thinking, oh gosh, is anything ever going to change in this city? Lord, you called me to this, and I know you called me to this, because Bernie said it this morning, I didn't want to do this. This is not my idea of a great time. No money. People will cuss you out in a minute and not think twice about it. They will disrespect you to the nth degree and won't think twice about it. You give up your time with your family. You miss opportunities with your family. You give up. I gave up my security because I had a job. I had my retirement. I had my benefits. I have 4 years, and after 4 years, my future is unknown, right? Because I got to go back out and try to convince people to reelect me again. Whoa. That's tough to do when you hold people accountable. Amen? But God called me to do, what did I say in here before? God called me to do what's right, not to get reelected. Right? I've got to do what God's called me to do. And I'm sorry to the people out there in the world that doesn't understand that. But I've got to do what God's called me to do. Amen? But it's these red letters that keep me grounded. It's these red letters that give me direction. It's these red letters that secures me in knowing that God's word is true. And that he will walk with me through this. If he's called me to it, he's already equipped me to do it. Amen? And if God is no respecter of person, in Timothy he says he's no respecter of person. So what he does for me, he's going to do for you. Amen? Amen? If in Jeremiah he told Jeremiah that before you was even formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I ordained you a prophet. So if he knew us before we were even born, he already knew what Jackie's called to go do. He already knew what Bernie's called to do. He knows what Mike's called to do. Amen? Amen? We all have purpose, and that purpose has to be fulfilled in the earth. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. So in these red letters, that means God speaks to us, right? So if we'll look at Genesis 1 and 27, the very first book of the Bible, chapter 1, 27, he says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. So if he created us in his image, in his likeness, don't you think he's able to commune with us if he made us like him? He didn't want to just create us, throw us on the earth, and then go do what you got to do and me not commune with you, right? He's a spirit. We're body with a spirit, right? Mind, body, soul. That's how we're created. Amen? So he wants to commune with us. In John 10 and 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Ooh. There's the catch. There's that hook. and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My sheep hear my voice. If you're his sheep, there's some requirements there, right? You have to know how to hear his voice. Amen?
Yes.
Yes. Amen? Is that sometimes hard to do in the world that we live in right now?
Yes.
Amen? All right. Can we take a moment and let's go to 1 Kings 19. And I would say, if you got a Bible like mine, turn to page 354, but I'm sure you don't have a Bible like mine. I'll save that for Pastor Butch, right? 470 if you got a Bible like Bernie's. Okay. So 1 Kings, we'll probably start around 9, but we're going to set this up. This is God's revelation to Elijah. Ahab goes and tells Jezebel what Elijah has done, okay? Elijah just went out and slayed all of Baal's prophets with the sword, right? Okay? So Jezebel, she's furious. And Jezebel sends the word that says, you go tell him. Daggone it, come tomorrow at this time, you're dead. You out. I'm bringing it. You're through. It's over. And daggone it, if you're not dead, may the gods kill me and do more to me than what you did to my prophets. But buddy, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you, right? Right? So he flees, right? Oh no. It's one thing for people to talk about you and gossip about you and ruin your name. It's another thing when they've actually threatened your life. Amen? And you know that they're coming. And it's not going to be an easy death, right? Pew. She going to slay him, right? Amen? So Elijah takes off and he takes his servant and they go to Beersheba. And he drops his servant off and he goes on another day's journey into the wilderness and he's hid out in a cave. Okay? He's scared. Have you ever been scared?
Oh, yeah.
Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
Somebody's coming to take your life? We still live in a fleshly body. That's intimidating. That's scary. So he's gone. Okay? So let's pick this up. Let's pick up at 9. Okay, Elijah's in this mountain cave, all right? And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou hither? And he said, I have been zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. Everybody's gone. I'm out here on my own. Have you ever felt like you're out here on your own and you're doing this by yourself? Nobody else has been through this. I'm the only one that's going through this. Amen? We've all been there, right? And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth. Saints, there's a requirement, and it's called obedience.
That's right.
Amen? Obedience. When God says to do something, we just do it. We adopt that Nike logo.
Amen.
Just do it. 'Cause when God speaks, he's already made a way of escape.
Yes.
He's already laid out a foundation for you to go. It's a matter of being obedient and moving when he says to move.
Yes.
Not when you want to move, when he says to move. Amen?
Yes.
But that requires us to hear him. Amen? So, stay where you're at. I'm going to run over to Deuteronomy 11 for just a second. Deuteronomy 11 and 26 says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day." Do you mean a blessing is attached to obedience? What? A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord. Wow. So there's something attached to our obedience. How many has experienced the fullness of God? How many live in total peace? How many live in total joy? How many, when we're walking in obedience, God will bring a blessing to your life? Amen?
Amen.
But we have to learn to hear His voice. And in the day and age that we live right now, it is so loud. The world is so loud.
Yes, it is.
That sometimes we miss it. Amen? But we're going to learn how to get there. And He said, "Go forth." There's obedience on behalf of Elijah. He had to obey the word of the Lord. She's after him. She's going to kill him. But His commandment has to be stronger than his fear of what she can do to him. Amen? Amen? "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains." How many remember that windstorm we just had the other day and how the trees bent over? That was a mighty rushing wind. Amen? "And break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." That's a strong wind. "But the Lord was not in the wind." Uh-oh. "And after the wind, an earthquake shook the earth." But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. "And after the earthquake, a fire." But the Lord was not in the fire. "And after the fire, a still small voice." A still, small voice. Is that how God wants to talk to us? In that still, small voice. I laugh about my granddaughter. She's 4 years old. Whew, this child. I love this child. I didn't know that you could love anything more than you love your children. The women, you understand that, right? There is a love for your child that you just can't even describe. But when that grandbaby comes along, something changes. And those two little kids, I'm telling you, they know. They know. She can't do any wrong. Now, I'll bust their little rear end in a minute. But in my eyes, she can't do anything wrong. And I'll say, "Marley, pick up the toys. Your daddy's getting ready to come. Marley, pick up the toys, honey. Your daddy's getting ready to come. Marley, pick up the toys." Sometimes I have to speak to her like that mighty rushing wind or that earthquake or that fire to get this child to listen. She doesn't listen to that still small voice. And sometimes we're like that, aren't we? Sometimes we're out here doing and being and, you know, just so distracted on things that we're not even listening to the still small voice, because we're not taking the time to get in His presence so He can speak to us. I'm not even talking to you two today. I'm talking to myself. The Bible says the word comes like a double-edged sword, don't it, Bernie? Who's it going to cut first? Has to cut me first before I can even present it to you. Do you know what it's like being a mayor?
No.
Do you understand the pressure of responsibility for an entire city? Do you understand the pressure of trying to satisfy everybody and have very limited funds? Do you understand the pressure of trying to convince people to think differently when they're so committed to, it's been this way. Yeah. Do you know how hard it is to have four former mayors sitting in the same room making decisions and you're the mayor? And you should do it this way, and you should do it this way, and you should do it this way. But God had called me to this position. That's pressure. That's pressure. And I would go home every night, and I would just hit the couch and be exhausted. So exhausted that I couldn't cook, I couldn't clean, I couldn't do anything. I was beyond exhausted. We had to go in and turn it upside down. We had to make different changes that weren't so popular. We had to go in and look at things at a different angle and kind of try to convince people that, look, we can no longer stay back here. We've got to go there. And that's difficult. But God, but His red letters, but He'll lay that platform before you. But look, I got so consumed with all of that. How much time do you think I spent in His presence? Knowing that He's brought me this place to this place so far. Knowing He's already been faithful to me. Knowing that He's already showed Himself to me. How did I allow myself to get in that place that I just laid there?
The cares of this world.
Trying to hide. Trying to not think about all of that. But I couldn't do good without Him.
Amen.
And I'm leaving that out. What? I know better. I know this word. I know He's been faithful to me.
Amen.
I know He's called me to this. And I got to do it His way. But I was physically, mentally exhausted.
Drained.
To the place, look, I even justified my little cell phone. How many of us have a cell phone?
Well,
it's all right, everything you need right there, right? I'd come home and I'd play on my cell phone, the little games, just to take my mind off of that, to kind of just give me a minute to... Half hour turned into an hour. Hour turned into an hour and a half. Then you become lethargic. Then you become complacent. Mm. Then you become, the day's gone. House is dirty. Laundry needed washed. Dinner needed cooked. Boy, fast food sounded real good right now, right? See how easy it is to get caught up? We still live in this flesh, guys. But the importance of being in His presence, having a procedure, for lack of better words, that you're going to have, wake up in the morning and, immediately seek after Him. Because when we do that, He will empower us. He will give us the strength that we need to endure the road that He's called us on. Amen? Amen. All right. Where did we leave off? The still small voice at the end of 12. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" What are you doing, Katrina? Come on. What are you doing, Jackie? What are you doing, Mike? What are you doing, Bernie? Come on, Delaney. What are you doing? We've got purpose, saints. And it's not to come into Church of the King every Sunday and get fed and get so full and lethargic on the Word that we don't even give it out into the world. We sit up here and we complain about this great United States of America and how it's terrible right now, and look at all the laws that we're putting in place. But we Christians won't even run for office, so we can be the one making the decisions. We've sat back here, crossed our legs, and got so haughty and put our nose down at everybody else that we've allowed the world to just do a shift, and now we've lost control. This is a country that we founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs. And now we've walked away from those Judeo-Christian beliefs. We've set up here and we've allowed things like, in the past, slavery to dictate why we're doing some of the things that we're doing right now. Instead of standing on the Word of God, and the Word of God says X, Y, and Z. We put more emphasis on our social things than we do on the Word of God. And this is what thus saith the Lord. And we sit up here and complaining about this. What are we doing? What are we doing? Gideon, when he went out to fight, left with how many? Thousands? But it got dwindled down to what? 300? Didn't take a whole lot to make an impact, did it? What can we as Church of the King do in Ironton? We can do all kind of stuff. That's exactly right. But we got to be committed. We got to hear from Him. We got to know what He is saying and move when He says move. Amen? Amen? But what does He do? And I'm going all off script here, but go ahead, Lord. We have been so caught up in ourselves, talking to Katrina, with my low self-esteem and my insecurities and my unforgiveness and all these issues that Katrina has to deal with, that I cannot be effective in the city of Ironton. I can't be effective for the kingdom because I'm still dealing with my issues. If I'm almost 50 years old, and if I'm still dealing with low self-esteem and fear and issues, and I've been in the Church of the Most High for 30 years, what is going on? Am I not applying what is being taught? And it is time that we Christians figure it out. We've got a dying world out there. It is not us against them. They are His people too. He loves them just as much as He loves us. He died for them. He died for us. He loves Muslims the same way He loves Christians. He loves every other body the same way He loves us. He mastered them. He created them. But we have to get it together. No more just coming into the church and sitting down and then walking back out. We've got to do something. Amen? I'm talking to myself here. Amen? Amen. All right. So, we have so many distractions. A while ago, I was talking about that cell phone. I can do my calendar on it. I can play games on it. I can make calls. I can make texts. I can get instant message. I can get Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter. All the stuff that's going on, overstimulation of the brain. And we wonder why our children are committing suicide. We're wondering why these kids are so depressed at the age of 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. Why? They're overstimulated. They're always connected to what's going on in society. Facebook, and you see all this stuff going on. Marketers, they love Facebook because I'm going to put this Big Mac right here in front of your face 24/7 to entice you to come get my Big Mac. Yeah. I do it with the city. I've got Facebook. I'm trying to put in your face all the positive things that we're doing in the city of Ironton so you won't focus on the negative things, right? That's marketing 101. And so we're overstimulated. If we're overstimulated, how do we get in the presence of God? How do we even hear Him talking if we're so overstimulated with society? TV. I walk in the house and I turn the TV on as soon as I walk in. Is that crazy?
It is.
Why do I do that? I got to have noise going. I can't stand that dead silence. But for me, and this is just me, when I go to bed at night, there's probably thousands of different thoughts that go through my mind if it's just dead silence. And so I turn on a TV to try to narrow things down. Yes. But when that TV's on, that's going to give me thinking about this. And then I'm over here. Same thing. Right? So you've got the TV running. What about multitasking? We at work, we have limited staff. We're always multitasking. Ladies, do we multitask?
Oh, yeah.
Children, grandchildren, jobs, cleaning the house, going to the grocery store. I remember that song, I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan. With a child on my hip, I can do all this stuff. We're always multitasking. Constant. Busy, 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 busy. Neon light, neon light, neon light, neon light, neon light. You've got this to do, Debbie. You got this to do, Bernie. You got this to do. Come on. Hey, 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 hey. Can you hear the still small voice in that? It's hard, isn't it? So guess what device the enemy uses? He keeps us busy, right? We're doing so many things, but it's all good stuff, right? It's all good stuff. Exodus 20 and 2. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to read a portion of it. It says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Well, I'm Christian. I don't worship Allah. I don't worship Buddha. So I got this covered. Check. I'm good there. Oh, are you? Really? So what is a god? Anything that you put in high esteem? Anything that you may spend most of your time with? Most of your money on, or anything that you that occupies most of your time? What about, we women are bad. What about our children? Especially when they're little, they take a lot of time, don't they? They take a whole lot of time. So is it a sin to be a mom? Genesis 1:28 says, "Be fruitful and multiply." That ain't a sin. Oh, but when you put those kids before God, when you've got to run to basketball and volleyball and football, and they're all on Sunday, I can't go to church. I can't go to Wednesday night Bible study because I've got all of this to do. And, you know, by the time I've got all my kids, I can't pray at nighttime because I'm trying to get them down and get them in the baths. And, you know, then it's my time and it's just too late and I got to hurry up and start this over again.
Amen.
Do we put our kids before God? What about a job? I have to have a job to live. Lord knows in today's society and the cost of everything, both parents are working now. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, if any will not work, neither shall they eat. He expects us to go out and work, right? So is it a sin to work?
No.
Is it a sin to put that job before God? The Bible says the love of money is the what?
Root of all evil.
The root of all evil. Not money, but the love of it, because greed sets in.
Yes, yes.
And we got to have more, and we got to have more, and we got to have more. And I want a better car and a better house and a better this and a better that. And why? What are things? Do we put our things before God? Wait a minute. I help out at the church. I'm at the church all the time, Bernie. I sweep the floor, Bernie. I open up the doors, Bernie. I'm here at every event. Every time the pastor opens up the doors, I'm here, Bernie. I volunteer. I give up my time at the church. Are you in the presence of the Almighty? Or is your busy work at the church satisfying your need? Are we just coming here out of religious duty? Or are we going to apply this word to our life? There's a young lady I seen on Facebook over the weekend, and Lord, if I'm wrong, please forgive me. But she'd been in the church for years, and then she goes to Facebook talking about this and that, and this is going on, and this is wrong. Jesus, take the wheel, and Jesus, this, and some. Y'all got to pray for me. And I said, you know the word, apply it. Yeah. Been here too long, way too long in His word to sit up here and act like this. People are watching us, saints. Yeah. We say we're Christians, and then we're laid out over here, all distraught because a trial and tribulation come our way. The trials and tribulation come to make you. They don't come to destroy you. Amen? Amen? And He's already equipped us to handle it. So why do we tuck our tail between our legs and we run off in a corner somewhere like we have no power? We have power because of the Almighty God. We have power because His Son sacrificed His life on Calvary for us, that we may have life and that more abundantly. We don't have to run every time gets tough. We stand, right? Are we going to fall at times? Yes. The Bible says that a just man falls how many times?
Seven.
But what's the issue?
He gets back up.
And it is time for us to get up. Get up and stand. And knowing, declaring this word, declaring these red letters are true. Knowing that God is for us, not against us. Knowing that He's made us the head and not the tail. Knowing we know this word. Guys, we will get tired. We will get exhausted. We will get feeble. But we have to know this word. The devil is trying to make you so exhausted that you can't hear the still, small voice. And as long as you have breath in your lungs right now, you still have purpose in the earth.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you're facing. You still have purpose in the earth. Amen?
Amen?
The devil's not concerned with us doing good. All this stuff we talked about. Oh, we women take care of our children. That's good. We volunteer at the church. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Do you think he's worried about our being good? Is there any power in being good? The devil is trying to stop you from getting in his presence. He's trying to stop you from hearing what thus saith the Lord. He's trying to stop you from becoming empowered. Because once we get empowered, then he loses the grip. And he no longer can dictate to us what's going on. He no longer can whisper in our ear and say, Jackie, you know that you ain't good enough. Oh, wait a minute, but the Bible says that I am. Oh, Jackie, you know you're not talented enough. Oh, wait a minute. The Bible says that I was made with purpose before the foundations of the world were even formed. So, yeah, I am talented. But if we don't know what this says, so when he comes and whispers in our ear, we might believe it. But if we know if God's for us and not against us, I ain't listening to that anymore. I'm done with that. I'm finished listening to that. God's created me for such a time as this, and I'm going to fulfill what it is God's called me to fulfill. Amen? Saints, when you're in his presence, there is peace. How many of us need peace in our lives? How many of us need joy in our lives? How many need contentment in our lives? Honey, silver and gold, take all that stuff. But you ain't taking my peace. I refuse to allow you to take my peace. I lived in torment for too many years. That is more valuable to me than the silver and gold. I don't need an elaborate house to live in. I don't need to drive some posh car. But I need my peace. I need my contentment. I need that satisfaction. I am who I am. I'm confident in who I am now. I spent way too many years not being confident in who I am. But society tells you, especially we as a woman, men, I ain't talking to you yet. We as women, they tell us when we become confident, we become arrogant. Well, I'm not arrogant. at all. By all means, I'm not arrogant. But I am confident that God placed me here for such a time as this. The same way that he called Esther for such a time as that, he's calling me and you, all of you, to right now. He's called you to Ironton. There is something that you need to fulfill here in Ironton. Amen? Or Kentucky. Or this tri-state area. Portsmouth? Yes or no? There's something, wherever you're planted, is where God has called you to. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Okay. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. When we're there, everybody say amen. It starts off and it says, do not be anxious about anything. Oh, wait a minute, Mayor. You don't understand. I don't have money to pay my bills. My electric's getting ready to turn off. Do not be anxious about anything. Wait a minute, Mayor. You just don't understand. My car broke down and I can't get to my job. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, wait a minute. I'm limited in the food that I have, and my kids need fed. Do not be anxious about anything. There is nothing that we need to be anxious about, because it's God's responsibility to take care of us. Amen? Many times we usurp his authority because we allow fear to set in, right? He says, don't be anxious over anything. We think it's, oh, if I lay here and worry, that means I care. Right?
Yeah.
I just lay over here and lament and, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Wait a minute. Do not be anxious about anything. Right. Well, do not be anxious about anything except that you can't pay your rent. Oh, except that you lost your job. Oh, wait a minute. Does it have that in there? Be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, all of those that I just mentioned and more, by prayer and petition. Oh, there's catch. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. With thanksgiving. Oh gosh, I can't pay my rent today, but Lord, I thank you anyway that right now I have a house that I am in. I thank you, God, that I woke up this morning, because somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody met their maker this morning. Now, had they accepted Jesus or not? That's a true thing to be concerned about, right? Not whether my rent is going to be paid the next month. That's exactly right. Get your rent paid for that house. That's a good one, Mike. That's an excellent one, Mike. Thank you, God, that I had food when I came in here today. I had breakfast this morning. Thank you, God, that I did have a car that we drove here this morning. Thank you, God, that I was able to bring my granddaughter to church this morning, God. Thank you, God, that we still have a house in the United States that we can come and worship you and not worry about going to prison. Thank you, God. Now, when I think about all the great things that you've done for me, oh God, this one little situation doesn't seem so big anymore, does it? So he says, come to me with thanksgiving.
Yes.
Then what's it say? And the peace of your God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Yes. Guys, his peace will transcend all understanding. I don't know where I'm going to get my rent at, but God, I trust you. I don't know where I'm going to get my groceries from, but God, I'm going to trust you. Lord, I don't know what my next job is. I am on unemployment right now, and I don't know where I'm going, but I trust you that you're going to fulfill this.
Yeah.
Amen? Sometimes he's going to shut one door so another door can open. So many times we want to be complacent, and this is comfortable, and I'm going to stay right here. And God is saying, no, I'm cutting that off, because I need you to go over here. And you wouldn't have went over there if I hadn't made you go.
That's right.
So sometimes we think the devil's after us when God is just saying, pew. Come on, let's move. Come on, I need you to move. All right. Amen. Verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters. He's talking to us, all right? My brothers and sisters. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything in your life, saints, is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those such things. Not what you don't have. Think on those things that you do have. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. It's getting in His presence. In His presence, there is joy. In His presence, there's peace. In His presence, there's love. Unconditional love. In His presence, there is power. In His presence, there is understanding. In His presence, the anointing. Have you ever seen someone come in and just start singing and you feel the anointing come in? They've been in His presence. So many people have been called to sing. Some, they can sing. But does it break chains off of our lives? Does it set the captive free? Does it help someone to overcome the thing that they are held captive with? But when we're in His presence, when we obey, when we listen to what God says, when we know this word and we're strengthened by this word, we can hear that still small voice. When we spend time with the Almighty, there's a way in. Enter His courts with and into His enter His gates with praise, into His courts with thanksgiving. There's a way that we are ushered in into His presence. We don't come just any old way. But there, and it's laid out here. He's telling you how to get in My presence. Yeah. It's right here. Amen? Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to give up all the stuff that the world is putting in our face and telling me I need this Big Mac? Telling me I need this new car that I can't afford? Are we willing to give up what the world says you're supposed to do and find out what He says to do? Who has the courage and the boldness to go against what society is telling us is right? Can you withstand that? Through Him you can. Guys, I'm telling you, I'll be honest with you. I couldn't at one time. I kept my mouth shut. I knew it was wrong, but I just sat over here. It was intimidating, all these people saying, oh, but this is right, this is right, this is right. I knew it and never opened my mouth. We wonder why the word is not as powerful as it should be. It's up to us. There's women out here that's dying, guys. There's men out here that's dying. This drug epidemic is crazy. Human trafficking at an all-time high in our country, with Columbus, Ohio being one of the top states in our country for human trafficking. Whoa. Ohio! Guys, we need this more than ever. Amen. And we need to be in His presence more than ever. Yeah. Speaking that word. We have the ability to speak those things that are not as though they are. If we're made in His image and in His likeness, He created the heavens and the earth. How?
Speaking it.
He spoke it. Are you going to speak over your own life?
Yes. Amen.
I go to the doctor the other day and they said, oh, Katrina, It looks like you've got RA, rheumatoid arthritis.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
What?
Where'd that come from?
Where did that come from? The devil's a lie.
Yeah.
I'm not letting that saturate me. I'll do what I have to do, and I will have sound, make sound decisions based upon the physician. But honey, no, I'm not accepting that. And I'm going to do whatever necessary to combat that.
Yes.
Mind, body, and spirit.
Yes.
Now, God says that I have life and that more abundantly. He said that His Son came, died on the cross, that I was healed, right?
Yeah.
And that you're all healed. We win no matter what, guys. To be absent from the body is to be present with Him. So it doesn't matter what we go through right here. We win no matter what. Have you seen the end of the book? We win. It's okay. It's okay. We all have our own paths that we got to walk. But listen, we've got to start professing the true power that we have in Christ Jesus. I may be afflicted with something, but it doesn't have to control me. I said, when my mom died of cancer, she allowed that cancer to control her. She did. But my mom was set free from it when she went to be with the Master. So she didn't lose her battle with cancer. Cancer didn't take her. God took her home. And now she don't have to deal with it. So we can be free here and we can be free up there. Amen? What do you choose? It's your choice. He gave us free will on this earth. It's your choice. We can't blame our parents. We can't blame society. We can't blame the past. We got to stop blaming and take on responsibility. You have a choice today. And are you going to get in His presence? And are you going to listen? And Katrina is talking to Katrina. God's called you to greatness.
Yes.
But it's going to require obedience. It's going to require some sacrificing.
Yes, it is.
I have to give up that phone. I have to give up that television. I have to get in His presence. Amen?
Amen.
And He wants to speak to us. How? In that still, small voice. Amen?
Yes.
Let's all raise. Wilma, do we do communion today? Okay, no communion today. Everybody, if you bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You this morning. We thank You, God, that You are real. We thank You, God, that Your word is true. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. And Father, right now, whatever situation anybody's facing, God, I know some of us are tired. We've got a lot on our plate. I know some of us are dealing with medical issues like myself. I know some of us have financial issues or marital issues or a wayward child. God, there's so many situations that the enemy is trying to stop us from really fulfilling our true purpose. And Father, I ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that You reveal to us the direction that we need to go. Open up our minds, God. Allow Your word just to be a neon sign flashing to us saying, this is what you need to do. If there's anybody here that has a burden and you need to come up here to the altar, I'm asking you to come forth. If there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, this altar is open for you. Whatever situation that you may have, God wants to meet you right where you're at. And He is telling you, I've got you. Trust me, I've got you. I will send to you what it is you need. It's in His presence. That's where I'm strong. In His presence, allow Him the opportunity to minister to you. Put your guard down. God, I spent so many years putting my guard up because I didn't want to be hurt. But that guard kept me captive. Saints, we will continue to be hurt. We will continue to have issues to come against us. But God has made a way of escape. Father, right now, I just thank you for your mercy, your grace, your loving kindness. I thank you, God, for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, Father, I ask that you go with your people here. As they go back home, I ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you correct things that need corrected. I pray, God, that they walk out of here with a boldness and a compassion to be able to tell the other people about this true living God that they are so aware of. Father, have your way, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Saints, I hope you have a great...